Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by local enterprise office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the local enterprise office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
Hello and welcome to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, we have quite a story to hear about in this episode. A Donegal-based drinks company whose products have attracted celebrity investors including Russell Crowe, Ed Sheeran, Jimmy Carr and Ronan Keating has signed an exclusive distribution agreement for the US market. The Muff Liquor Company has landed the lucrative deal with the Lucas Bols Company, one of the leading cocktail and spirits players in the worldwide cocktail market, who will now have the exclusive rights to import and distribute Muff Liquor products in the USA. Well, the Muff Liquor Company was founded in 2017 by local entrepreneur Laura Bonner. The company launched its first product in early 2018 and now boasts a portfolio of vodka and gin, which are potato-based, as well as a peated Irish whiskey. And this summer, it's set to open its brand home premises in Muff with a shop, cafe, still and bottling plant, and there will be sampling tours. I've been speaking to Laura about the development of the business, those celebrity investors, how her dream is being realised with the company, and how it continues her family's distilling legacy in Inishowen. I began by asking her to outline how it all came about.
Oh, goodness. Just a dream from when I was a teenager, to be honest. My granddad, Philip McLennan, he was a potato farmer, and he introduced me to poutine back in the day, and I just kind of came fascinated with the idea of how we weren't selling, bottling this product and selling it as, you know, it was like the liquid of the Irish people back in the day. I had that idea when I was 19, and it just never really left me, so I wanted to do it for a really long time. I was going to drop out of law school, actually, and come home and learn how to make potato vodka, but obviously that was shut down. And then 12 years later, after finishing my career in London, I thought, right, it's time to go home, since the feeling just never left. So I did. I came home at 32 and set up for the Muff Liquor Company.
So when you were setting it up, a big decision, and no doubt you needed a little bit of capital and advice. So how did you, who did you approach, and who helped you out in those key initial stages?
My business partner, he's my silent partner, Tom, he was one of my clients in London. I was his account manager, and I worked in the property industry for years. So I was his account manager for years. And he, one time we were sitting in Shanghai, and he said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I just don't want to be doing this. I want to go home, and I want to set up the Muff Liquor Company. I want to make potato vodka." And the next day, he sent me an email saying, "I am sick listening to you for the last couple of years talking about this dream. Like, what is it that you need to happen to make this happen?" So I said, "Probably a cash injection." And he said, "I'll give it to you." And he goes, "But I need you to leave London, go home and do it." So yeah, he gave me money. I had my own, so it was just the two of us that actually seeded the company at the beginning. I didn't even have a business plan. He had so much faith in me, and yeah, went home, and that was it. I didn't really speak to too many people, to be honest, at the beginning. Obviously, you're trying to come up with loads of ideas, and then loads of people have their own opinions. So I always think when you're starting up something yourself, you're just gonna write down what you think needs to happen, focus on that, and the rest will follow.
Yeah. So So tell us about that first year, because obviously the production of the product just doesn't happen in a couple of weeks. There's a big lead-in period. So what was involved in setting it up, and what were the initial priorities?
Well, that we actually set up really quick. I came home July. No, I handed in my notice in London, July 2017. Yeah, 2017, and I was working on it while I was still in London, but I came home maybe December, and by February we had our first product on the shelf. So most, I think it should have taken us way longer, but it didn't. But it was mainly just getting the liquid made, which obviously we had an idea of what we wanted to create. So we went down to a distillery, and spent some time with them trying to make sure we got the liquid right. Obviously, you have to do all your legals, your trademarking, get your bottle designed and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was just our main priority for the first year. And then we hit the ground running on the 3rd of February 2018.
And the very first product was?
We actually started with the Muff Gin. So the vodka was always my plan from forever. I didn't like gin. And my friends who worked in the industry was like, you know, you really should think about gin. Gin's going to be this huge trend. And I said, God, I don't like gin at all. And they said, well, go to the distillery and figure out what it is that you don't actually like about it. So it turns out that I don't actually like juniper berries, which is obviously the main botanical for any gin. So our gin is actually not juniper led, so it's a lot smoother and not as sharp. Mm. Not sure if you've tried it, but started off as Muff Gin, and then we released the vodka in November 2028, and then our whiskey then followed, obviously, a couple of years later.
So the name of the company, the branding, the design, the bottle, that's pretty much all down to yourself. And was there much tinkering around, or did you have a pretty set vision from the word go?
No, I had a pretty set vision. I think the Connor Smith, who's our creative designer, the first time I met with him, I was trying to explain to him exactly what I wanted. And when we left, Tom said to me, Laura, there's no way that man's going to understand what you just said. He goes, that was absolutely crazy what you just described. And in fairness to him, a couple of days later, he came back and I was like, that is exactly what I want. So, we were just very aligned in our vision. But I suppose, like, I've dreamt about it for so long, for so many years, that when I was given the opportunity, I ran with it so quick. I knew exactly what I wanted and how I wanted the business to look. So, we were just really lucky that it all came together pretty quick.
So it's a very competitive marketplace. So when you launched the first product, how did you develop the initial market and to get that exposure and to get the name out there?
I think I was the 12th gin in Ireland that year to be released. And obviously it was the 3rd of February. So the market was absolutely saturated in Ireland at the time. So we kind of spent our first year overseas. We went over to Asia and the likes to try and push our name. We relied an awful lot on social media and, you know, word of mouth, to be honest, because obviously it's pretty expensive to be advertising. Because our name obviously is quite rememberable, well, we were quite lucky to get organic traction with it. To be honest, we were really lucky that maybe a couple of months into our business, I got a phone call and randomly on a Tuesday that it was actually Chris Stark and Scott Mills over in BBC Radio 1. They were doing a funny business segment, and I just happened to be in the office and I picked up the phone. And that actually made us go viral. We got over 500,000 hits globally. We had like 6,500 followers like in the matter of a couple of hours. And the guys that I was hounding in Australia to get a call back, they emailed me my clip of the video saying that this is you speaking on the radio. Are you ready for a call? So, like, I owe them a lot.
Absolutely.
They came over to Mustang to meet with us then afterwards, and they invited me over to the studio in London a couple of months after that, and we're still in contact. So, yeah, very grateful for them, to be honest. So, yeah, they put me maybe a year or two ahead of plan, which was great.
So it's one thing manufacturing and producing and marketing the product. What about the distribution? I'm sure there's quite a lot of hoops to go through there.
Yeah, big time. It's actually really difficult. I don't think people realize. It's like people say to me all the time, how come you're not in, no name a shop? And I said, they might do a product range review maybe once a year. And there is obviously hundreds, if not thousands, of people pitching at the same time. And it's hard getting the right partner as well, and who you choose to pick. But look, we've been quite lucky with maybe a few that we might have went down the wrong way. But you know, you learn from your mistakes and you just move forward. And then obviously we're in a great position now with our recent news with Lewis Bowles. So I'm just excited to just keep going.
So from one product, it became two. Two became three. So tell us how the how the pipeline went that other products came on stream.
Well, yes, we had the gin and the vodka, and then obviously whiskey takes a couple of years, so we just had to wait on that. But we started the whiskey process before we even launched the business. So we launched the three. We have another few products in our pipeline, but I'm not sure if you know, but we're obviously opening our brand house, so, brand home in Muff with our distillery. So this summer, so that's our main focus now. Obviously, we're launching into America in September. And then we'll look to see other products, hopefully, please God, in the next couple of years.
Yeah, so this brand home that's opening in Muff, so it's really bringing things all together, bringing them all back home. And just to explain to people, you know, a lot of the manufacturing, you just by the very nature of things, you couldn't have done that in Muff from the word go. You had to find external sources to help you out with that side of things.
Yeah, of course. I don't think people realize how expensive it is to set up an alcohol company. And we just didn't know if it was going to work. So we had to go out with our product first, with our name, just to see if we could either survive before we set up a distillery. And I always said by year five that I would have a distillery in Muff. Then obviously COVID hit, we had 3 years. So I'm 1 year behind plan, but I'm so extremely proud of myself that it's happening this year. Just we'll have a shop and a cafe, a sampling tour, I think is what the right name is, our place isn't that big, but it's phase one anyway, so we're getting there. We'll have something opened, and then obviously we'll have the still there for to make our products. So yeah, I'm really, really, really excited and extremely proud of myself and the team that we've got there eventually.
So is it a case of contracting out to another distillery that they do X amount for a period of time, and then when the number of years is up, it's up for review, and are in the position now that some of that will transfer to a new state-of-the-art facility back in Donegal?
Yeah, I think most distillers and actually mass produce and other plants, like I think at the end of the day, you own your own liquid, you own the own recipe, and you know, I think what we did was the right move and the right thing that we did for our business at the time. Now that we're able in a position, thank God, that we're able to build our own and we can start manufacturing in Muff. It's great. Look, I'm delighted that we're able to do it.
And your vodka and gin, they're both potato-based?
Correct. Six times distilled, so the liquid's pretty pure. So... I think now, I haven't looked at this in a while, but there was only, I think, maybe 10 gins in the world that were made from potato. Obviously, we're one of them, and we distilled six times. So, yeah, pretty lucky with our liquid, and we've won so many awards with it. So, I suppose that speaks for itself.
Yeah, and is that an added marketing advantage to people and sort of the whole Irish thing and potatoes? Does that bring it all together?
I'm not sure if... the potato thing, a lot of people kind of look at you and say, potato. They always kind of question at the beginning. I think for our story, well, it is our story, and I love that it's potato and it's Irish and it's from Donegal. So I suppose when you put it all together, our story is pretty unique and remarkable. So it works for us.
Yeah. Now, tell us just a little bit more about the opening of this brand home in Muff. It's set to take place in July. So what exactly will be there on site?
We'll have a shop. We're a merchandise shop. And we will have a cafe. We will have our still and bottling out the back. And we will have a bar for a tasting tour. Now, it will be ready in July. I'm just not sure when we will actually open to the public. That's to be confirmed. I'm still waiting on a few licenses through and stuff like that. So obviously until all that goes through, I can't plan, but the building itself will be ready.
So obviously that means the creation of employment in the area, and no doubt it will also be a magnet for tourists, because that whole tourism side, visiting breweries and distilleries has become a very popular thing, particularly in Ireland. And, you know, people are interested and it gives them a great insight.
Yeah, gosh, I hope so. Our whole thing was always that we wanted to create tourism and we always wanted to create jobs in Donegal. I always think Donegal is always forgotten about. I think Muff itself, obviously, it's kind of, isn't it known as the beginning of the Wild Atlantic Way? And I think when people come to Malin Head, we don't obviously have a visiting centre there, that people come to Malin Head and then they leave, they go somewhere else, where hopefully now with this added tourist attraction, people will stay around the area. So I'm hoping that will benefit everyone, especially with the new greenway as well, the cycling path. I'm hoping now that will definitely bring tourism to the area for sure.
So the company's only going, what, just over 6 years, but you have won a number of awards and been nominated for other ones as well. So each time that happens, you know, that is a great boost. It's helping get the name out there, and you must be well pleased with the fact that you have had so much success already.
Absolutely. As I said, I'm extremely proud of what we've done, and long may it continue. I don't think people realise how excited we do get when we find out we've won a gold with our liquid. It's normally that they're obviously blind tasted competitions, so it's not like they know the brand name or they know the bottle or they know the story or anything like that. So when it's just going on pure on liquid, I think, it's great. I think I always tell the story of a competition ringing me saying that we came second. And I was like, what? And they were like, well, do you want us to send out your medal? And I was like, no, don't bother. And I was like, our liquid is gold. And I was like, I'll only be aiming for gold from the future.
Well, taste is good. so important. So when you've been bringing on a new product on stream, have you had focus groups or who's having the final say on the taste? Is it yourself?
Yeah, of course. But I've had my family moved in for many a night. We always start off so professional, but we always do focus groups at the end. As I always say, like, I'm not my own consumer, so, you know, my taste is my taste, but obviously I need the feedback from the customer, and we've always done focus groups from the very beginning, even with our name, with our taste, everything about it, really. So it's really important to have that information.
And has a product ended up quite different from what it has started off with, the little additions and subtractions and tweaking
Absolutely.
Around?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Our gin changed. I think when you make a certain product that you have a quantity and you just, if you want to double that, you just add double. But it's actually not the case. It changes the taste quite dramatically. So it took us a good couple of months from the very beginning until we were actually up and running, making proper quantities to get our recipe to the standard that we wanted and what we've got right now. So, look, it's like anything in business. You're not going to be perfect on the first run, and you learn from it. I don't take anything personally at all. We just get on with it next day and move forward with it.
So what countries in the world is the Muff Liquor Company currently exporting to?
Currently, so we're in Ireland, UK, and Bermuda, and Germany, and Portugal, and Dubai, and Japan, and Australia. And then I was going into the US now in September, and now Lewis Bowles, who we're signed within the US, I'm flying to Amsterdam, to their headquarters, to meet with them to speak about other countries. So really looking forward to keep expanding as much as we possibly can.
So it's a huge breakthrough, this, an exclusive distribution agreement with the US company, the Lucas Bowles company, giants over there. And just to put it in context, you know, they are, you know, one of the biggest drinks companies in the world. They have a huge portfolio. They're active, I read, in over 110 countries. So how did it all come about that you've got this big breakthrough with them? Were you knocking on their door, or what happened?
Yeah, of course. I think people would be surprised how many doors that I have knocked on over the last couple of years. But, it was Tony Carroll, my global CCO. He was in contact with Brett Dunn, who's the CEO of Lucas Bowles in America. I think he contacted him. Tony left a huge company to come and join us, and I think they were like, "What on earth are you doing? How come you're jumping?" And Tony said, "Like, this company is one to watch. Have you not heard of it?" And he said, "Yeah, of course I've heard of it, but I don't know the liquid." So Tony sent them over a few bottles. They tried the liquid, and they emailed us then saying, "Look, when can you come to New York and meet with us?" So myself and Tony flew over late last year. Met with the whole team. It's very important for us as much as it is for them to make sure that whoever we're partnering up with is, we're going to be best friends. I speak to them more than I speak to my family at the moment. And yeah, thankfully they love the liquid. They love the story. They love the brand. We all got on extremely well. So January, the deal was done. So we've kept the secret pretty well. We had to keep it embargo for a couple of months, but it's out now. So such a relief, to be honest.
And in many ways, you're the perfect fit for them because they have a range of spirits, liqueurs. They do tequila, they do gin, they do non-alcoholic spirits. So you're going to very much add to their own portfolio.
Yeah, they're really excited for us. And they believe in our brand as much as we do, which I think definitely helps. And they're not only one of the biggest spirit companies in the world, they're the oldest. They're celebrating 450 years next year. So for us being a baby in comparison, having their knowledge and support and expertise is absolutely crucial. And yeah, it couldn't have worked out better, to be honest.
So without,
we're really, really excited.
Without giving away any state secrets and commercial secrets, what exactly happens? Do they say we're taking X amount of bottles for the next 6 months, or how does it actually pan out?
Well, we forecast for the next couple of years, to be honest. We've got a big order leaving for the water this summer. We'll be launching September, October, depending on the sea gods. Hopefully everything arrives in time. We're going into 20 states straight away, and then March of next year we'll go into the remaining. So we'll be all over Australia, or all over America, by next March.
And is this just one or two products, or is it your whole range?
All three. Yeah, they're taking the whole three. And then we'll work together on potentially a few more down the line. We'll see.
You're doing vodka, you're doing gin, you're doing whiskey. Are they all currently manufactured in different parts of Ireland?
All together, under one roof.
Under one
owned
roof.
By us.
Yeah. And then how much of that will come back to Donegal, or what's the long-term aim?
For this, I'm not putting any pressure on myself and the team. We will be able to make a few thousand per month enough ourselves. The distiller that we work with down the country will come up, obviously get more people trained up. I just want to make sure that everything runs smoothly, and I'm not going to put pressure on myself to appease anyone. I want to make sure, I've never owned a brand home or had a working still under my care before, so I'm going to take it step by step and make sure that it's done perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. Big responsibilities as well. So the facility,
a lot more.
The facility is there for you to upscale with the existing distiller. You know, should things skyrocket even further in the next couple of years, you have that capacity to expand if required.
Yeah, and we're looking at phase two already. You know, looking at something else in us. But again, we don't want to run before we've learned. We're crawling at this point and not even walking. So I just want to take it step by step. I want to make sure that the team are looked after, that they're not overwhelmed, that everything runs smoothly. You know, I'm sure we're going to have lots of mistakes and lots of teething problems, as every business does. So until that is all organized and I feel comfortable with it, then we'll continue to grow. But yeah, our plan is to continue to expand the business over the next couple of years. And yeah, as I said, look, we've got phase two already on site, but we're dealing with phase one at the moment.
And what about the online side of the business? Just how important is that, and is there a fair growth in it as well?
It has been. Well, we saw a big drop now since COVID, but obviously everybody was buying online during COVID, and our cocktail sales and stuff like that. So if anybody's listening who bought us a cocktail box during COVID, I want to say thank you, because he's kept us in business. But the online sales, it depends. Like most people now, they just want to go into a shop and buy it off the shelf. They don't want to wait a couple of days. I think there's certain sites, I think in Amazon, you can get it the next day, but a lot of our deliveries, what we have access in Ireland, can take up to 5 days, which is not feasible for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So they go on the shelf, they buy it, and that's it. So hopefully people will buy ours now when they go into the shop next.
Now, I needn't tell you, it's an extremely crowded and competitive market. So the bottling, the labeling, the name, they're all so important. Tell us just a little bit about, you know, even things like getting the bottle and getting a manufacturer and getting the right shape and all that. That must have been a fairly big component of things.
You wouldn't believe what goes into it, but we've got a brand new bottle coming out. At the moment, we have a bottle that comes from France, but it's owned by the French companies, which means that we can only get it made from them. And their lead time just started getting out of control, and they weren't able to keep up with quantities. So the next thing we were told to do is come out with a custom made bottle, which is extremely expensive to do. But we felt it was an investment that we needed for the company. So we have a brand new one coming out this summer. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just going to be for ours. We can get it made anywhere. So, really exciting. New design and just new beginnings. But I love the ones we currently have. I'm extremely, extremely proud of them. I'll be sad to see them go. Mm. But I'm also extremely happy to see the new one come.
And tell us then about the support that you've got from agencies within Ireland, because, you know, there is a big push for entrepreneurs and small businesses, and, you know, Ireland has punched above its weight. We're doing very well in the various export markets, not least in the food and drink sectors.
Sure are.
So have you had a lot of help and support and assistance?
Yeah, I suppose I've been in contact with the Leo office in Donegal and Enterprise Ireland. Default Ireland have been a great help with us now with the new brand home, so have to give them credit. AIB have been a great support to us from the beginning, but we haven't really looked for too much support from anyone, but I know it's there if we need it.
And that's probably partly because of the fact that you had such a vision that was mapped out. I mean, you kind of knew what you want and you really went for it.
Yeah, honestly, I even when I'm crying during my bad days, and trust me, there's loads, I'm like, but this is what you've always wanted. This is your dream. So, feet are firmly on the ground now. I know exactly what I want, I suppose, but I want to enjoy it as I go along, and I do enjoy it. And I've got an amazing team. I've got an amazing support there. My family are incredible. I wouldn't be able to do it without them. So, look, it's just, at the end of the day, sometimes I'm like, it's just a job. I just have to remind myself, as much as I want this, I never want to be sick. And I think I always try to remember the team. I'm like, your mental health comes first. Everything else will fall into place. So look after number one.
I'm speaking with Laura Bonner, the CEO and founder of the Muff Liquor Company. Well, you've mentioned there about mental health, Laura. So when you're not thinking about the business and you're switching off and you're getting a little bit of your own precious time, what are the distractions? Mm-hmm. What do you like to do?
Oh my goodness, I'm a hippie at heart. I want to be bare feet in the field underneath a tree. I really ground myself as much as possible. I get into the ocean as much as I can. I meditate, I listen to music, I hang out with my dear ones, I turn off my phone. So yeah, no, I think the world is quite noisy these days, that it is, but I think it's really important to be able to switch off and I practice a lot of gratitude. I think that's probably what my biggest thing that keeps me sane on every day.
Yeah. And where
I look after myself.
Where better place than in a show and to get out and enjoy the lights?
Beautiful. Oh my goodness. I was living in Australia for the last 18 months. Now I was spoiled, so I was living in Russell Crowe's house. But coming home now, I arrived home 2 weeks ago, and the weather's really picked up this week, and when you're here and the weather's good, I'm like, there's nowhere else I want to be. I just absolutely love it, and it's great being back with the family, and my dad's been really good feeding me every night, so I'm really lucky to be back at the moment.
Well, now, you touched on it there. You were over in Russell Crowe's house, so that doesn't happen to everybody. Yeah. How did that all come about? He actually has invested in the company, hasn't he?
Yeah, he sure has. He's an absolutely great man. I absolutely adore him. But yeah, again, I wrote on my whiteboard in 2017 that I would have him and Ed Sheeran as two of my shareholders. I wrote it down, had it in my head, and 5 years later I got both of them. So sometimes I really ask myself how on earth did it happen. It's so surreal. And then there's such a huge support. And obviously when I went over to Australia, he's like, move in to my place for a couple of weeks. I was like, no. I was like, I need my own space. He's like, look, I'm never there. So I arrived there and he goes, come for 2 weeks and then decide. And a month later passed, maybe 6 weeks. He goes like, so I got where you're staying? I was like, yeah, I'm loving it. So it was an amazing experience. I don't think he'll realize how important it was to actually push me, because it really gave me a sight that I, you know, it's something that I would have never experienced in life before, but it really does open your eyes if you just think, like, if you work extremely hard and stay focused, like, you can have this. So, I'm really, really glad I had the opportunity.
So was it a case that you had to go through agents and quite a few steps and probably hoping more than expecting a reply to come back? And did he then actually meet you and taste the product, or what? How did it work out?
No, there was no, I don't deal with any agents. I deal with them all direct. When I found out that he was filming in Ireland 18 months ago, he was down doing that movie, The Pope Exorcism. One of my best friend's sister's fiance was singing in his band, and I knew that he had organized a party for the cast down in Dublin. So I had the three bottles in a box and a note, whatever, and I got it down into his lap. I think it was like 10:30 on the Saturday night, and he opened it but didn't say anything, apparently. And then he went back. They had drinks and stuff at the house, and then apparently, he then told me that on the Sunday that he had spent the day just reading stories and articles and reading stuff about me and the company. And then at 8:05 on Monday morning, I got a phone call from one of his guys saying, are you looking for investment? And at that point, I very much was. I started to tell my family that I was thinking about filing bankruptcy at that point. And he invited me down to his house. So we had breakfast that Wednesday. I think by Friday we had the deal done.
Wow.
So surreal.
A marketing masterstroke. And then not only that, Ed Sheeran, Jimmy Carr, and Ronan Keating have also backed you. So that's quite a quartet.
Yeah. I know. I was delighted with one of them when I heard I was getting them all. But again, like, they're just really good men, like, they're family men, they're hardworking, they're down to earth, like, they're just our kind of people. You know, I don't have a weak link anywhere. They're extremely supportive, they're very creative. I honestly, I can't tell you how much I'm loving this and enjoying it, and I'm really, really glad, I'm really grateful that they're being part of the journey.
Yeah, and Jimmy Carr has a very particular sense of humor, what's he like to deal in person?
To be honest, he's completely different. He's quite serious, but he's so lovely. He's a really nice guy. But yeah, I know what you mean. His jokes aren't for everybody. I'm not too sure about myself, but he himself is a great guy.
Well, these are the Fab Four who've got on board early on, so. Do you think we'll see other big names? They have a big act to follow. Are you knocking on other doors at the moment?
Oh, Chris, I don't think I could handle any more, to be honest. I've got my hands full with it. You know, we're spinning a lot of plates at the moment. So, no, I don't think so. But I should never say never either. So we'll see how the next 18 months go. And as America is such a huge market, it's a huge opportunity, but it's a big one for us to crack.
Yeah.
So we all have on deck now come this fall.
Just how big could the company go? I mean, can you be a global brand?
Well, that is what we're aiming for. I always think, you know, when people say to me about doing year's forecasts, I can't help but bring myself back to when I was doing forecasts in my business plan, you know, December 2019, making my plans for 2020, and then obviously a few weeks later the whole world shut down. You know, and I read my business plan and my forecast from back then, not that long ago, and I thought, my God, I think the world, like, we've gone in a completely different direction, and obviously didn't go to plan. So as much as I'm in year six, I do feel like I'm only in year three. But look, we aim for the stars, and I will continue to do my very hardest to make this as big and as successful as I possibly can.
Yeah, and you can hear the passion in your voice, and you know that enthusiasm and desire and passion, that plays a huge role in any business in driving things forward.
Well, I do love it, and I think when you love something that you enjoy doing, I think it's half the battle. You know, I don't wake up in the morning and think I have to go to work. You know, I'm always like, oh, what do we have on today? So I definitely think that helps. I think the day I wake up and go, oh, I don't want to do this, that might be another question, another conversation for myself to have.
So perhaps an inevitable question to conclude. If somebody has an idea out there, you'd be very much in the go with your gut feeling brigade mode. That's the way. Seize the opportunity.
100%. I remember sitting with the bank years ago, and I said to him, I was like, if you had 80% chance to make this work, would you do it? And the person I was speaking to said no. And I said, if I have 20%, I would run with this to the very end. And I think that was the difference between you and I. So I think if you've got the gut and you've got the passion and you've got the belief in yourself, just go for it. I always say too, like, at least then you know you tried. I think for me, I talked about it for so long that I was like such a pipe dream for so long that when it started to make me feel sad, but I felt like I was missing out in life. And I thought, if I do it and it fails, like when COVID happened, I really thought, right, this is it, now it's done. And I think at least then I've tried. Luckily it didn't. So yeah, believe in yourself, back yourself, go for it.
And there is a lot of negativity out there in the news. There's a lot of doom and gloom, but at the same time, there's all sorts of success stories, including yours. There's lots of businesses thriving in Donegal and expanding and people coming back. You have to have the optimism and have a positivity.
For sure. And, you know, I think the Irish are amazing. Like, we're great at supporting overseas. You know, I've been away out of the country for the last couple of years traveling. And, you know, I really, really felt the support of the Irish, like, overseas. Like, and when I was in Australia there just past, on St. Patrick's Day, we were down in the rocks. The amount of Irish people that came over to like congratulate me and wish me well and say, oh, I saw your stuff on social media and I bought your bottle. And, you know, I was buying it anyway just because I wanted to support you being Irish, but now I love the product. And that was great. I just think the Irish, what we do is great. I think what we produce food-wise and alcohol, I think you previously mentioned, is remarkable. And for such a small country, we should be extremely proud of ourselves and we should be supporting each other. So, yeah, we should take over the world.
So, for the rest of 2024 and 2025 and 2026, bring it on.
Absolutely. Well, I was saying to the bank manager last week, I was like, who builds a brand home and launches into America a couple of weeks apart? I was like, I must be losing my mind. And he was like, Laura, we expect this from you. They went, it will just be a really interesting part of a chapter in your book. So, we had a good laugh. But busy next half of the year for us. But again, as I said, feet are on the ground. So very, very excited. Just going to grab the opportunity with those hands and enjoy it.
Great, Laura. It's a wonderful story. And we look forward to the book in a few years' time. And no doubt you appearing alongside Russell Crowe in the adaptation on the big screen as well.
My bio.
Much to look forward to.
We can play ourselves.
Great.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Really appreciate your time.
CEO and founder of the Muff Liquor Company, Laura Bonner, many thanks for joining us on Business Matters. Before we go, just to let you know that Donegal County Council is coordinating the staging of a jobs fair in London to promote employment opportunities in Donegal. More than a dozen Donegal-based businesses are expected to be in attendance at the fair at the London Irish Centre in Camden on Thursday, May the 16th. The jobs fair will specifically target Donegal people living in London and who are looking to return home, or people who are interested in relocating to the northwest of Ireland. The event will showcase the diverse range of opportunities that are available in Donegal in sectors such as construction, financial and professional services, tech, engineering, education, hospitality, and healthcare, and will highlight the many career prospects available in the county, with many companies seeking to recruit for senior positions. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council, Councillor Martin Harley, is urging people in London to come along to the event and see just what Donegal has to offer. And members of the Council's Economic Development Team will be in attendance, providing essential information needed when relocating to Donegal, including matters on such things as housing, schools, driving licences, and much more. For more information on the Donegal Jobs Fair, you can visit the donegal.ie website. Well, that's it for this edition of Business Matters. I'm Chris Ashmore. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, goodbye.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. If you have an idea to start or grow your business within Donegal, contact the Local Enterprise Office team to find out more about the supports available for businesses. See localenterprise.ie/Donegal.